we'd open our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay. Sometimes when you reboot your system, you have to redo a few things. All right. Well, this morning I'm going to speak again on faith, and this time I would like to address what the world would be without faith. In Hebrews 11, beginning verse 3, we read, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And then we skip down to verse 6, where he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we read two verses of Scripture this morning showing that you, Father, created the heavens and the earth with faith, having faith in your own word, having faith in your own revelation of what it should be. You spoke it, and then you brought it to pass. And Father, we also read where, "and without faith." And we know that not only is it impossible to please you without faith, because faith is who you are. But Father, without faith, just by itself, without faith, what would we have? Where would we be? How would we go about our daily lives? Not knowing if the white light switch is going to work, not knowing if when we turn the starter of the car it's going to turn on, and not knowing if we're even going to wake up in the morning. So we have to have a certain amount of faith, Father, and we ask you, Lord, though, that you'd help us understand that without faith we can't even please you. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd be with us today and help us, Lord. We love you, Father, with all our heart, and we pray that our love might show. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've all heard what can be done by faith. In fact, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, you know, by faith this happened, by faith that happened, by faith they conquered this, and by faith they did this. But what about without faith? Paul tells us in verse 6 that we read for our text, where he says, "But without faith," and so this morning, I'd like to look at the condition of the world where there is no faith, because we read in the book of Luke 18 and 7, where Jesus himself is speaking of the faith of the woman who cried day and night until God heard her prayer, in reference to the woman who kept pounding at the door of the unjust judge to hear her petition. And Jesus said, "And shall not God avenge?" So that word is poio. It means to make or to do, to perform without delay. And the story he was telling us was of the woman who was incessant with her continual petitioning the judge for a favor. Now, Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not. Ask abundantly that your joy might be full." People try to limit God. You know, "Well, God's so busy, I just don't want to bother him." Forget it. He's your Father. He wants to do for you. Every father wants to do for their children. Now, let's just read the story for ourselves. Luke 18 and 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wears me down." I challenge you to wear God down. I challenge you. "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. His own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now listen. So many times we give up. Just give up. I guess he didn't hear my prayer. Would not have been a thing for Abraham to say after 2 years of asking God for a son. I guess he just didn't hear my prayer. 25 years. Not only did he keep petitioning God, what about my son? What about my son? What about my son? But for 25 years he told his wife, get the booties ready. Get the bird's eye ready. You know, get the pins ready. We're going to have a baby. Faith is based on revelation. If it's not revealed in here, you might as well not ask. But if it's revealed in here, then ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Now the question that Jesus is asking the disciples, and that is one scary question, because he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall the conditions be so bleak that people have just totally lost faith? Now, that's a scary question. Because if we could just imagine an earth with no faith, well, it could not even be as it is today, because Paul said, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Therefore, if God did not have faith to begin with, there would be no world. In fact, the world would not even exist. It would still be in the thoughts of God, but no actions would have taken place to bring it into existence. We read in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form. The Hebrew word here is tohu, and it means that the earth at this point was without any form. All it was just an empty place. It was a nothing there, like they say today, it's a nothing burger. Well, at least a nothing burger has a burger, or maybe has a bun at least, no burger but a bun. But this was a nothing place. There was nothing. It wasn't even there. It was still in the mind of God. And then Moses adds another descriptive word concerning the condition of the earth in the beginning, and he said, and it was void. And notice this word describes the earth as void, and the Hebrew word is bohu. Remember, one's tohu, the other's bohu. It means emptiness or vacuity, a large nothingness of vacuum and darkness or obscurity was upon the face of the deep, the abyss. So we see the creation at this point in time was only in the mind of God. Nothing was there, just in his mind or in his thinking at this point. But then something began to take place. Something had to happen to bring it from the mind into a reality. Now remember last week we showed you how creation begins and how we as sons of God, made in the image of the firstborn son, are also in the image of our father, because that is how we come forth as children, and you cannot help the nature of your birth. But you must die to your physical birth in order to be birthed by the Spirit of the living God. So here we have the earth at this point. It's just a thought in the mind of God. But God shows us in the next verse what he did, that he did not allow it to just stay in that condition. And how many of you have a thought already in your mind and in your heart that you desire to have? It could be for a spouse, or it could be for children, or someone to love. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you this morning, because I'm afraid that Jesus was wondering if there would even be any faith when he returns. And some of you have no clue what faith can do for you. You are so caught up into the circumstances that surround your life that you are so afraid to take charge of those circumstances through faith to change the scene. But thankfully, we have the DNA of God's Spirit in us if we are truly born again of his Holy Spirit. And as he looked at the nothingness that lay there in the beginning, now just sit back and listen, because God is eternal. He lived by himself with no one to share his love. no one to show forth his healing power, no one to show forth his creative power, and all the wonderful attributes of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience, etc., fruits of the Spirit. He lived by himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you are his offspring. And he stood there before all eternity of nothingness and said, I am going to change this scene. I am going to step into my desires. I am going to produce by faith what I desire to experience firsthand. And so we see in verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now from his sermon, faith is a substance, Brother Brown said, this is the keynote to the Scriptures. Faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You have not, because you ask not, ask abundantly that your joy might be full. Oh God, I see my children. They're not living for you, Lord, like they should. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. But Lord, I'm not seeing results. You're looking at the circumstances. Look at the promise. He promised, and all their offspring with them. This world was made by faith, Brother Ram says. Things were shaped in existence by faith. God just seen that dewdrop hanging out there in the air, that whatever you want to call it, and he just spake, and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And then he brought the land forth and dried it off and so forth. And that was all done by an act of faith with God. The whole world is made by faith. You're here tonight by faith. You realize, Sister Patty, you're here by faith today? Brother Steve, you got in the car. Didn't even have to think about it. You turned the key. Car started. You drove down the road. An act of faith. Brother Justin, when you got here, you turned on the lights. An act of faith. I'm going to flip that switch. It's going to work. Many of you told your employer, you'd be back tomorrow to work. How do you know that you will? You told your wife, I'll be home after service. How do you know you will? You told the person maybe to come, a cab, or to pick you up at 11 o'clock. How do you know that you'll be there? You may be in eternity before 11 o'clock tonight, see? But it's all by faith. Everything. Everything is by faith. Now, let's just take this thought here. He said, but it's all by faith. Everything is by faith. Now, I want you to think about that. Therefore, if everything is by faith, then without faith, there would be nothing. Nothing. No earth, no light, no sun, no moon, no stars, no life, nothing. So we need to examine what faith is, and we need to know how by having faith it changes us. And it makes us little creators over our environment that we live. Now remember, Adam, when he first came forth, he said to this mountain, be moved. Didn't doubt, it was moved. We have that promise from Jesus himself, but we sit here as defeated children. Why? I'll tell you why. We don't trust God. We believe that, well, maybe, we don't trust this word. This word is God's word. Every promise you have need of is in here. He promised many things for you. He promised your spouse. He promised your children. He promised you this, that, and the other. He promised to take care of you. He promised what child asking for bread would be given a stone. What child asking for a fish would be given a serpent. He's a loving Father. And he's given us a sixth sense called faith. He's given us an ability to change our environment, to change our situation. So we need to examine what faith is. And we need to know how by having faith, it changes us. And it makes us little creators over our environment that we live. And I'm hoping by the end of this sermon this morning, and if you find that you do not have faith, that you will seek it. And that you will find that you have faith for some things, but not for others. And you'll begin to apply that faith that you have for those things for the other things that you don't have faith for. Now we know the condition of the people at the end time will be without faith. And they will just see the days ticking off one by one. And like Groundhog Day, you know that movie, Groundhog Day, that every day they woke up was just a repeat of the last day. And so life becomes with not expectation, no expectations at all, no hope. It's just loneliness and misery and what seems to be an endless nothingness. And life has no meaning at all to millions and billions of people in this world. Why do you think the scripture says that at the end time they're going to ask for the rocks to fall on them? And is that, do you want to get out of here? You just want to end it all. Why is suicide so high? They want to get out of here. They have no faith. Now concerning the two books of Peter, we know that the book of 1 Peter deals with the time of the rapture in a manner as he does up through 2 Peter 1, verse 1 to 11. But the rest of 2 Peter, he goes into the full mechanics which are left out in 1 Peter. And therefore in 2 Peter 3 and 1, we read about the conditions and the mechanics of the scene as it will exist at the time of the parousia of Christ. Now let's read. He says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now notice he's saying, now look, all the prophets have told you what will come. Jesus told you what will come. I'm telling you what will come. Paul told you what will come. So be mindful of what I'm telling you, so that you will be aware when the parousia of Christ is at hand, because the scene will be very telling concerning the day of his great visitation among us, just before the great destruction that will take place. So he begins by saying, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, their own desires, and saying, where is the promise of his parousia, his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You wake up in the morning, the sun's up. You go to bed at night, the sun's down. You wake up in the morning, the sun's up. Go to bed at night, the sun's down. Same old, same old, same old, same old. Such is a life without faith. Notice he's warning us that the condition of the people, the scoffers, will be lacking faith in what God is doing. In fact, they lack such faith as they are not even aware that God has come to will and to do. And Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Then Peter tells us all, that all we have to do is to go back to see what God did in the very beginning, and we have our pattern to believe in. He tells us that these scoffers are so focused on their own desires, their own lusts, that they will totally forget that it will take faith to believe in what God is here to do, just as it took faith for God to bring forth the very creation itself. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, these end-time scoffers have no insight into what God is here to do. They just see things from their own perspective and they say, all things continue. I don't see any change. What good does it do to believe that he's here if I can't see anything that benefits me? Then Peter rebukes that thinking by saying, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but his long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can you imagine Sarah nagging on Abraham? He promised a son, he promised a son. Well, finally, okay, just take Hagar. Just get it done that way. Is that what God promised? God promised you Sarah. But I'm getting old. I'm getting past having a child. Is anything too great for the Lord? Is anything too great for the Lord? What about Elizabeth? 69 years old. Past having children. And God said, his angel said, you're going to have a son named John. He's going to be a servant of the High One, the Holy One. Is anything too great for the Lord?
Zachariah said, oh, you're right. God said, okay, you're not going to speak until after he's born.
Is anything too great for the Lord? I asked a question, and I want an answer. Is anything too great for the Lord?
No.
Then let go and let God.
Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men would tell slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That's not just talking, it's your living and godliness. Looking for and hastening unto the parousia of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, while you are waiting on God to perform what he said he would perform, he made you promises. There's over 800 in the Bible. Just get them out and read them. And while you're waiting on God to do those things, he said, let us be at peace. Why? You're expecting to happen. Let us be at peace. Don't fret. Don't look at the circumstances. Just look at the promise. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, and which they that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but rather grow up in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So we're looking at the condition of the world, the scoffers and the believers who, the ones who see everything like a groundhog day, where there's just no changes. And others who see the promises and know that the one who made the promise is here to complete the promise. There's two different type of people here. In a sermon, the presence of God unrecognized, Brother Branham said, working for this one purpose, not two, not three, not multiple purposes, but working for this one purpose, and that is for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. That's his whole ministry. See, because if he is present, then why, everything is settled. He made the word, he's here to confirm it. He proves that he'll confirm it. He is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then every night in those meetings, God proving it. Time and time again, never before in the history of mankind did God prove and vindicate so much in just a single meeting. But again, in a sermon from that time, he said, the main thing that we try to do is let people see that Christ is not dead, that he is alive. Do you believe that? I do. And if we can just see the one who made us all these great grand promises is here to confirm those promises. You know, before I met my wife, I was praying for a wife. I wanted to get married. I was 25 years old. I thought, well, you know, I've got a job. I've got my schooling behind me. I want to get married. And so I began to pray, and I heard Brother Vail on a sermon, preach a sermon on faith, about a young guy who was in his church, who was the dullest. He had three brothers. He was the dullest of the three. They all had good education and good work ethic and good, you know, smarts and everything else. And This guy had the least education. He had the least smarts. But he had faith. And he said, that young man, he got a job, went out and got himself a job, had faith to get it. Belief for it, got it. A few months later, he found a better job. Had faith to go get it, he got it. A few months after that, he found a better job, and eventually he had the best job in the family. The dullest, the least educated, but he had the most faith. What would you rather have? Good looks or faith? Smart or faith? Good job or faith? They'll get you better. It all comes down to faith, brother, sister. And he said, working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. If he's here, if he's present, why? Everything is settled. We should be living in peace and rest. God, I know that you made promises to me. It's confirmed in my soul. I've seen it in your word. I'm waiting now for you to bring it to pass. Again, from a sermon from that time, the main thing that we have to do is to try to let the people see that Christ is not dead, that he's alive. And if we can just see the one who made us, all these grand promises is here to confirm those promises. And finally, from God's provided place, or from God's provided way, he said, now, there's been all kinds of ministries. God in this last days, I believe, has given us everything he's got in his book. Everything that he's promised, we've seen. And still, it seems like that the people can't grasp it. Those who are ordained to grasp it will grasp it. Only those. It blinds one, opens the eyes of another. Now remember, we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not dead, but alive forevermore. And he's here tonight. And we are in his presence tonight. And he's here to confirm and make good any promise that he made for this day. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anything that he was, he is tonight. Now, the problem is, how do you really believe that you're in his presence? How many walk with him day by day and know that you are absolutely walking in his presence? How many of you, when you get down to pray, you search your soul first, make sure that your heart's right toward each individual, toward your family, toward others, that you have nothing that would defile your prayer before God? And then you go with confidence and say, Father, I know that you're here because you promised me that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm taking that personally. That's your promise. And knowing, Father, that you're here, I'm asking you to do something for me that you've done for so many others. And I got on my knees. I said, Father, I want to be married. Lord, I pray that you provide me a wife. And a week later, I went to Jeffersonville, and that's where I met my wife. The same time, I was looking for a job. And I said, Lord, because I'd been teaching school and got laid off, didn't get hired back the next year. So I got on my knees and said, Lord, I'm asking you for a job. And Father, you said that you would withhold no good thing from them that love you. Remember that promise. You will withhold no good thing. And you said that he that getteth a wife getteth a good thing. And Father, I'm going to get a wife, I believe it. So now I've got to be able to provide for my family. Because if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. So Lord, I'm asking you for a job. So these things all work together. And I know that you work all things together for our good. As you know, I had a job, had a wife, had everything. Within a year, or actually probably within about a year and a half, I had a wife, I had a job, I had my first child. Ask, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened. He's not an ugly father who likes to hold things back from you. He's a loving Father that wants to give you the very desires of your heart. Maybe you're looking in the wrong place. I don't know. But he'll give you exactly what he has, what you have needed. Therefore, God has come down and the appearing before the coming to make good all of his promises. Then we should understand, as did Peter, that if God began by faith, he will surely end it all the same way. And so this age is to usher in a period of creative faith, just as he began it all. Remember, Brother Brown said, now, here is the harmony. Harmony between God and his church, his seed. He said, the word is in them, and they know what to do with the word. God showed us a first fruit in William Branham, who spoke a creative word, and squirrels were created. I believe God can give you a creative word. Listen, he said he could raise sons up from the stones. Speak to the stones and ask God to raise you up a son. We saw that in God's prophet William Branham, we saw how that he was out squirrel hunting. And so squirrels was on his mind. And then God steps in on the scene on the anniversary of his speaking the three squirrels into existence. He happened to be back in the same field. And so we read last week that God stepped along beside him, said, what you thinking about? What's on your mind? He said, squirrels. And God said, okay, then you want squirrels? Well, where do you want them? From I have heard, but now he sees it, and I heard it again, you're hunting and you need game. Notice that it was God that placed that thought first in the mind of our prophet to get his squirrels. That is exactly what we have learned in this series on faith that the scripture teaches us. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Brother Brown had on his mind thoughts about going squirrel hunting. God, who is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the mind, knew he was there, what purpose he was there for. So what about it? Well, I'm wife hunting. Okay. Where do you want her? What do you want? Well, Lord, this girl doesn't have any eyes. Give her eyeballs. White eyes. Oh. Father forgot to ask for a color. Lord, would you give her, what color would you like? Well, Mom said, always said that blue is a pretty color. All right. Father, we pray that you give her blue eyes. Two blue streaks down. Father, I'm looking for a husband. Okay. What do you want in a husband? Just speak it. Father, I want my children saved. Okay. Speak it. For with what faith you've got to speak. You got faith to turn on a light switch. Derek, could you flip that switch there, the first two on the right? Yep. Okay. Now turn them back on. Okay. What did you just do?
No.
You exercise faith. I said, turn them back on. You turn them on. That's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. You're here this morning because of an act of faith. We don't understand faith, but we're going to. The Bible says it is God working in his prophet to will and then to do. No, he said God is working in you. Willing to do. So God was alongside of his prophet, walking with his prophet, and said, What are you here for? I'm hunting. You want squirrels? Yeah. How many do you want? Three. Where do you want them to come from? That's a sycamore tree. I know that they don't come around sycamores. There's something about sycamores they don't like. I want it right in that sycamore stump. Okay. There it is. Speak it. God said, okay, speak it. Okay, I want it right there in that sycamore tree. Open it up. There it was. Now I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, that was because he's a prophet. No. When Yvonne and I were first married, I went hunting about 8 miles from her house, or her parents' farm in northern Iowa, just across the Minnesota border. I went out in just a big old farmer's field with my shotgun. And I was going out and I was looking for what do you call those, not quail, the grouse. I was looking for grouse. And I walked out there and I said, Father, I know that your prophet spoke to squirrels and you're not a respecter of persons. So I'm going to ask you for the same thing. But I'm not asking for squirrels, I'm asking for grouse. Father, I want a grouse. And as soon as I opened my eyes, while I was still praying, I hear this, and I look, and from here to the back of the church, not this door here, but the front door, about maybe 60 feet away. Here stood a grouse on a log, beating his, puffing up his chest, and with his, I took aim, boom, one shot, got my grouse. I hunted for another 4 hours, didn't see another one. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, you just asked for a grouse. I asked for a grouse. I didn't ask for three. That was a limit. I asked for a grouse. He gave me a grouse. Now, if God could create a grouse for me or place it there, certainly it looked like it was created because my eyes were closed. I opened my eyes. I hear this sound. Boom, there he is. Didn't see him before. I'm not saying that that was created. But yeah, it was created. We're all created in Christ Jesus. We're all creatures of God. But God placed it right there. It's so close, so straight, it'd be almost impossible to miss with a shotgun. You see, I happen to have a simple faith. I happen to be simple, very simple-minded. I believe God can do anything. I believe God, with God, all things are possible. Even as a young Catholic boy, I believe that God is God. I mean, God can do anything he wants to do. And if we just ask, because Jesus said, ask abundantly, your joy shall be full. I learned that as a child. What is so hard about that? What is so hard about just letting go of our sophistication and allow ourselves to be children and believe God for our children's salvation, for our healing, for our daughters, that God will fill them with His Spirit. Believe God will give you the spouse you're looking for, give you the child you're looking for, give you your marriage restored. God is God. Everything you see, taste, feel, smell, hear was created by His Word. It was first a revelation in His own mind, and then He had to speak it because that's His law. Faith cometh by hearing. He had to speak it. Then it became faith. So God talks to his prophet. Say, well, what is your will? He says what he wants, and then God tells him, you have to speak what you will in order for the process to begin. He says, you must first speak it. You have to speak it first because that is how faith works. Faith cometh by hearing. And if it isn't spoken, then it must remain an invisible thought. But once spoken, faith is born. And it begins a creative process that faith cometh by hearing. Now, I'm going to reread to you what went on with the prophet and see if that is not exactly what we see taking place here. And even notice the wording of his sermon title, I have heard, but now I see. What came first? The hearing. I heard it again say, you're hunting and you need game. But God placed the thought first in the mind of the prophet to get squirrels. So God then says to his prophet, how many do you need? And I thought, now, I don't want to overdo this. I'm just going to ask for three squirrels. I want young red, three red squirrels. I want them. He said, then speak. Now, at this point, Brother Branham begins to step into this conversation with God, and he starts to act upon what God has told him to do. And I said, and I'm going to get three young red squirrels. Not, I would like to have, Lord. Oh, Lord, I would love to be married. I would love to have children. I'm going to. Notice. Not I would like to have, but I'm going to get three young red squirrels. This is not a hope, so it is not a, but it is a no, so I am going to get 3 young red squirrels. Now, that's where he was expressing his faith. I am going to get. Not, I am hoping to get. Hope is the worst enemy of our faith, because faith believes so, and hope only wishes it so, but is not sure. Then God responds. He said, which way will they come? Well, I thought, I went this far.
Did you hear what he said?
I've gone this far. There's something talking to me here. You ever had that sweet out prayer? The Holy Spirit starts to talk back. Starts to tell you. Listen, now, when he begins to do that, you're on a roll. Because he's opened his ears to hear your prayers. You're now on a roll. He's beginning to talk to you. Keep it going. Many times, hundreds of times, I've been in that chair right there on my knees in front of it, praying during the day over here. And I'll get down and pray. I may pray for all the things that I think of in my mind. And I get up to go, and something says, don't leave me. Immediately, I'm back on my knees again, talking to him again, waiting for him to talk to me. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Don't leave me. He loves fellowship. How many of you love fellowship with your children? Don't you just love it? Even when they can't respond by talking and stuff, you're just holding them and embracing them, look at their little smile. He loves you so much. He loves your fellowship. He loves your attention that you give him. He sat for trillions and trillions of years without it, John. All by himself, for an eternity in the past. And now he's got children. God wants to hear from you. Don't just get down and, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like the Catholic Church, Holy Mary, Mother of God, you know, all that garbage. It's all a bunch of nonsense. We don't say prayers. We pray. When you go to your knees in reverence and respect, Father, I'm on my knees because I love you and I respect you. I love you, Lord. Begin your prayers by telling him how much he means to you, how much you love him. And he'll begin to tell you how much he loves you. He wants your fellowship. He wants your love. He wants your kind words. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. So, Brother Brown said, there's something talking to me here, just the same as you hear me talking. And God in heaven with his Bible over my heart knows that that's true. And said, well, and I picked out a ridiculous place, an old dry limb hanging out there about 50 yards where my rifle was shot in. And I said, the first one will be right there. And there he was. I rubbed my eyes and looked back. I turned my head and I thought, I don't want to shoot a vision. So I looked around again and there sat the squirrel. I threw up a shell into my gun and aimed, and I could see his black eye, young red squirrel. I thought, maybe I'm sleeping. I'll wake up in a few minutes. See, I'm dreaming about this. Well, I leveled down, shot the squirrel, and it dropped off the limb. I thought, well, I don't know. I thought, should I go over and look for it? And I walked over there, and there it laid. I picked it up, and the blood running out of it, a vision don't bleed, you know. So I picked it up, and it was a squirrel, and I got real numb all over. Why? Because God had just created something. Because he was having sweet, sweet fellowship. Just like you, Brother Don, when you sit and put our arm around each other, just talk. Sweet fellowship. And now that sweet fellowship came creation. Now looking at the world without faith. That's the condition of the scoffers at the end time, the time of the parousia of Christ according to Peter and Jesus. When the Son of Man appears, shall he find faith? So faith is more important to us in this hour than at any other time, and yet most people don't even know if they even have faith. But the Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews 1:1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now notice that the Apostle Paul tells us that faith is both a substance and an evidence. And substance and evidence are two different words, and they mean two different things. When Paul speaks of faith as the substance, because he didn't say it's a substance, he said it's the substance, he's using the word hypostasis, which we also know in Hebrews 1:3, where it was translated as the very person of God himself. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, his hypostasis, the express image of his hypostasis, his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. Again, we see that word hypostasis translated as the word confidence in Hebrews 3:14. Same Paul, same author of Hebrews 1, Hebrews 3, and Hebrews 11. But that word was translated three different times. Why? Because they didn't know what they're talking about. They should have just left it as hypostasis and let us go back and find out ourselves. That it means a person. It means a confidence in that person. It means it means a substance. If something has substance, it's real. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about a substance. It's talking about the substance. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, it's not speaking of our confidence in ourselves. But rather, since the same word was translated as the substance and as the very person of God, then it is accepted that Paul is speaking of our confidence in Him, in Christ. So after Paul establishes the fact that faith is having confidence and trust in a very person of God, of Christ, who is the very substance of God, he then goes on to tell us what faith will do. And never forget that faith is a revelation and something that has been revealed to you, as Brother Brown pointed out in several of his messages. From a sermon, works is faith expressed. Those works is faith expressed. Works is the evidence of the faith. Yeah. Faith is substance and evidence. The evidence is when you actually believe it and step into it. He said, now faith is a revelation from God. Now faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by His grace. It's nothing that you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You never had faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God revealed it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation, and the whole church of God is built upon the revelation. And we know there's only one faith, and that's the revelation of God. Again, he said in his sermon, Invisible Union of the Bride, he said, now what is it? What is the revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. Abel by faith, offered by revelation, faith offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Cain thought that they ate apples. They still got that idea, but it wasn't. It was adultery, serpent seed. So Abel offered unto God his revelation back. He offered a bleeding dying lamb because he knew it was by the mixing of the blood. Now, from his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet. But you believe it will be. The little girl out there it wasn't Oscar Mayer. What was the farm?
Ranch.
The ranch. It was the
Oscar Mayer.
Was it Oscar Mayer?
I think so. Okay.
Well, anyway, the ranch out there. Whenever I think of Oscar Mayer, I think of Wieners. But it was a cattle ranch. She was out there. She wanted a husband, but you know she was in no condition. She was the stepchild, so to speak. She was the Cinderella, so to speak. She was the little girl whose parents had died, and so her uncle took her in. But he had some pretty nice looking girls dressed really frilly and everything else, and they were expecting to get the Oscar Mayer heir. He's coming up to find a wife. But he saw her character. He saw her work ethic. He saw how she was about her business every day, day and night, day and night, day and night. She was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, you know what? That's a match. That's a match. Then he went to her and said, look, I'll be back in a year. 1 year from now, you can count on it.
And she did. And she prepared herself from that time forward, and her sisters made mockery. Who does she think she is? But he came as he promised, because Brother Brown said he's working for this one purpose. For you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ, because he's here. Because he that made the word, he's here to confirm it. He's here to confirm it. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. Amen. I hope that you see that. See, we're living in that hour. See the hour? Now, from the rapture, he said, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation. What is the revelation? Shout, voice, trump. We're in it. It's confirmed already. We're partakers of it. For the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, faith. That's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. Okay. So now that we've established what faith is, it's a revelation. Let's read what that revelation produces, because revelation has to produce. For by it, by revelation, by faith, by revelation, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, through revelation, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are not seen were made by things which do appear. Or things which are seen were made by things which do not appear. By faith, by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaking. By faith, by revelation, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was found because God had translated him. Or he was not found because God translated him, for before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Then Paul tells us why he pleased God. He said, for without faith, without revelation, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, some people put their children down when their children are dreamers. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. People talk about the dreamers, you know, the illegal aliens. But all of us have dreams. All of us have aspirations. All of us have desires. And God is the author of those desires, our dreams, if they're in Christ. Without faith, without revelation, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's your revelation. That's your substance. Knowing by revelation that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. He is. Not he was back there somewhere. Not he will be in the future someplace. He is right now a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And there's your key to receiving from God. He says, those that diligently seek him. Like the widow woman to the unjust judge. She just kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. By faith, by revelation, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith, by revelation. By revelation, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By revelation, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And why did he look for this city? Because God had revealed it to him. Through revelation also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore innumerable.
These all died in Revelation, not having received the promise, but having seen them, the promises. Having seen them, they were revealed to them far off. Notice, having seen them. In other words, they were in their psyche. They were in their heart. They were in their desire. They were in their revelation. Having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things declare plainly. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from when they came out, from whence it came out, if they had been focused on the circumstances that existed all around them, if they had been focused on their past, they might have had opportunity to have returned to that past. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city and revealed it to them. By faith, revelation, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. God gave him the son that he longed for. 100 years old, he longed for that son. He was now 13 years old, and Abraham was so thankful, having spent 12 years with his son, and now God said, okay, this son that you're going to populate the earth with, I want you to kill. Huh? Am I understanding you right? Yes. I've got a typing. The lamb's got to be slain. It's a type of my son. Abraham said, though he slay me, yet I know he'll raise me up. Job said the same thing. Job lived before Abraham. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Can you trust this word? Can you? Can you trust what God says? He's able. Not only able, but willing. Can you let go of your will? Like Jesus had to. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Listen, Abraham was dead. His body, 90, 100 years old. Abraham received the son from the dead. God changed him back. He said, if God can change me back from a dead man, not able to even have a son, he could change my son back. And so God put him to the test. God will always put your revelation to the test. By revelation, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By revelation, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the staff of his top of his staff. By revelation, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By revelation, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By revelation, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew God is a rewarder. By revelation, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through revelation, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By revelation, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By revelation, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By revelation, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say the more? Shall the time, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David, also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, who through revelation, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tested. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheep's coats and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not even worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens of the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through revelation, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made complete. God waiting to give them this great revelation of Christ that he's come down to give us in this hour. Brother Branham said in a sermon, Second Miracle, some people have great big faith like this, anything can happen. The next has faith that deep, takes a little longer. The next has faith that deep, takes quite a bit longer. Some has faith like a mustard seed. But if it's mustard seed faith, genuine faith, hold on to it. Just keep believing it. It'll become a marble faith. Then it'll become a grapefruit faith. Then it'll become a mountain faith. It'll bring you right out if you just stay with it. Hold on to it. It'll bring you right straight to the light if you'll stay with it. But don't be discouraged. And do not believe the symptoms. Symptoms, that's the devil's lie. Some people say, well, now, God didn't believe the symptoms. The symptoms were the earth was void, no form. Without form, void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. There was nothing there except for in his mind he saw what he wanted. In your mind, do you see what you want? Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the void. Don't look at the abyss. Don't look at the lack of form. Just believe the promise. God told her that she was going to be well. Oh, excuse me. And I never told her. God told her that she's going to be well. Why? She said, now wait a minute. The next day she went, well, there's that cancer still running, and I'm drawn down. I can't move. I'm on this cot. I can't go. Well, maybe he was second day, third day, fourth day. Well, maybe he was wrong. No. If she had believed the symptom, she was looking at the symptom. She was looking at the word of the Lord, what the Lord said. How many remember the woman that was very sick? Couldn't eat. Came for prayer in the prayer line. 2 weeks later, Brother Brown said, the angel of the Lord came through her neighborhood. And her neighbor that were both prayed for were healed that very moment. Look to the promise. So in this quote, Brother Brown tells us how important it is concerning faith, revelation, that we do not look at anything else except what God's word says about it. From only one true living church, for the rest of our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight that we can sing that from the depths of our heart, Lord, I believe, and as a father with an epileptic son years ago, he said, help thou my unbelief. We hear this question asked one day when he returns, will he find faith? He never questioned whether he'd find righteousness or whether he'd find a Christian, but would he find faith when he returned, knowing that that would be the one thing people would let go of. Hearing also the Holy Spirit speaking in the last days that how these times would come, men would have a form of God like this, but would deny the power, the lack of faith. No, denying the power, denying John 14:12. That's the lack of faith. Why do people say only William Branham can do it? Because they saw him do it. Why don't they believe when Jesus said, if you believe me, the things that I do, you're going to do. Why can't people step into that? You know why? Because they're afraid of what people are going to say about them. You all know the story. The devil kept saying to me, you're going to make a fool of yourself. The only thing I can think of is, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Are you willing to be a fool for Christ? Are you willing to be a fool to man for Christ's sake, for his word's sake? I am. Call me names, call me whatever you want. Call me a Pentecostal, call me he's going back to Pentecost. Whatever you want to say about me, that's fine. I'm a son of God. And you know what? I believe God's not a respecter of persons. And you know what? I know a brother who spoke to a storm in Colorado. And God honored him because he saw that his eldest brother had sat up in the, when the ocean or the seas were tumultuous, he sat up and said, "Peace, be still." And God honored that. So if God honored one brother, God honored another brother. God's got to honor this brother. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Now, I might just be that simple. But you know what? Leave me alone. You know, the waterhead babies are the happiest people in the world. You know Gerber? Their baby for their jars now is a baby that's born with Down syndrome with a nice, nice smile on his face. Why can't we see that amongst people today? Sometimes I wonder if it wouldn't be, we'd be all better off if we're all Down syndrome. Be the happiest people on earth. Bless God. Love God. Talk to Him. He'll talk back to you. Said, men would have a form of godliness, but would deny the power, the lack of faith. And we thank Thee tonight, Lord, because that in our hearts we feel that we have just a little faith. And help us, Lord, that that faith may be increased tonight. Until it be so high, so lost in complete surrender in Christ, until great mighty works will be shown tonight. Forgive us of our shortcomings now and help us. May the Holy Spirit, just now, the great officer of God here in the earth, searching out for a bride for the Lord Jesus, and may tonight visit every heart here in a special way. Now, we read this morning from the book of Genesis where God had a revelation of what the world was to be. But without speaking His revelation and putting it to work, the earth would still be without form and void, and darkness would still cover the face of the deep. And it did for trillions and quadrillions of years. But God had a revelation. And He spoke that revelation, and creation began to move forth by the spoken word. Because when you speak it, you bring life to it. For faith cometh by hearing, and you've got to speak it before you can hear. How is it two people ever going to get married if they don't talk about marriage? How are two people going to express love if they never say, "I love you"? Well, I'm waiting on her. Well, I'm waiting on him. It'll never happen. One of you has to step out by faith and say it. Now, for my commission, Brother Rasmussen, now, all of you with faith, and you're afraid to put it put it to work, it won't do any good. Why not just lay aside everything that's unlike faith? Believe and act on what you believe. Not what you feel or what the sense bears witness of, but what your faith bears witness of. Is that right? You have faith in God, and then act like you have faith in God. Now, if Abraham said, I got faith in God, but was afraid to offer his son Isaac, then his faith was no good. Paul justified Abraham by his faith. Paul was talking about God, what God seen in Abraham, but James justified him by his works. James was talking about what men saw in Abraham. See, God sees your faith, man sees your works. And if you say that you have faith and are afraid to step out and make works out of it, then it don't do you no good. It will never do you no good. You've got it, I believe it. You've got it, accept it. You've got it, act like it. Notice, number one, believe it. Number two, accept it. Number three, act like it. Hearing, recognizing, acting upon the word. From faith without works is dead, Brother Branson. Now, the first thing, it looks like Paul was speaking in Romans, the fourth chapter, justifying Abraham by faith, and James is justifying him by works. But it does not contradict. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham, and James was speaking what man saw in Abraham. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham in Genesis 6, when he told him that what he was going to have this child by Sarah, and Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed that promise. That's what God saw. And then James speaking was speaking of what man saw in Genesis 22 when Abraham offered up Isaac. See what faith is? What faith you have, that's what God sees. But what your works is, that's what your neighbor sees. See? Show me your works without your faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith. See? If I would have had a revelation of my wife, that she was to be my wife, I mean, I loved her. If I had not told her I loved her, she would not have known that I loved her. Now that she understood that I loved her, it was easier for her to say, "You know what? I love you too." And what did that do? It started a fire.
and the fire started brewing, started building. And God brought us together. All of you have same testimony. You could have known the girl your whole life. You never said anything to her. She'd never know. You got to speak out. You say, well, but what if he doesn't love me? So what? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him. God so loved the world that didn't even love him. But you know what? That love that God gave us says, brother, we love him, but he first loved us. Had God not first loved us, we would never love him. Because we wouldn't know about love.
So in Genesis 22, where Abraham offered up Isaac, see what faith is? What faith you have, that's what God sees. But what your works is what your neighbor sees, see? Show me your works without faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith, see? Now, notice, I believe that this audience here has faith. I believe that. But I believe that you're afraid to turn it loose on works. For I believe that if you would just let your faith loose, see? Why is works such a bad word? Works is an expression. It's an expression. Active faith is an expression of a passive faith. Sure, you've got to have passive faith first. But if your passive faith never results in an active faith, you didn't have passive faith. In perfect faith, brothers, and now we want to speak now upon faith, a different type of faith, perfect faith. That's a great thing. Now, faith, we're told in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. Now, you cannot be saved without faith. And faith is something that you have to believe it's there, that really nothing else will declare it's there but faith. Now, I'm trying to bring faith to you so that you can be ready for this prayer line in the next few minutes. Now, faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And it's impossible to please God without faith. You cannot please him. And if you say that you believe God, you have never seen him, see? So then you've got to believe it by faith. And if you could see him, it would be no more faith, see? Anything that the senses declares is no more faith. It's a scientific fact, see? It's not no more faith, but you have to accept him by faith. And from the stature of a perfect man, said, now notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. So he says you can't be saved without faith. You can't be healed without faith. You can't be born again without faith. That's right. So you see, on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you are skeptic of the Bible, when you're skeptic of the word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. Well, what is sin? It's unbelief. There's only two elements that controls a human being. That's either doubt or faith, one or the other. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith that you have, how high that you can rise. But first, it's got to be faith. Now, let me stay on that foundation for a while. All right. Now, from Jehovah Jireh said, we must remember that nothing can be done without faith. And it first has to be confessed, for he is the author of our faith. And we know that, and that nothing can be done without faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And now he is the high priest of our confession. Now, the King James here in the book of Hebrews puts it profession. To profess and confess is the same thing, profess and confess. Confess means to say the same thing. By his stripes I'm healed. See? Now, by his stripes I'm saved. And now, and then first we've got to confess it. And he sets as a mediator and the only mediator between God and man. And he sets there to make intercession upon what we confess that he has done. What a sound. What a solid thing that is. And from as I thought of my ways, and now, many knows that it's faith. Then without faith, you cannot be healed. You have to have faith. Well, faith is what? Faith is a finished work that Jesus did for us at Calvary. Faith in a finished work. How many believes that? Well, then as far as healing is concerned, it's already finished when Jesus Christ finished it at Calvary. Is that right? Raise up your hand. Then what has to be done? Just you to believe it. You don't have to come to one of these meetings. You don't have to have everyone pray for you. Only thing you have to have is faith to believe it. And now you people who do not think, that you people who think you don't have faith, let me tell you something. You just do not understand what you have. You all have a mind that can think, and you can understand what God's will is when he places it into you begin with. As Brother Brown said, have faith in God. He said, faith, why? It's the most common thing there is. You can't even get a drink of water without faith. You couldn't come to this meeting without faith. You cannot move your finger without faith. It's said in the scripture that when they put the blood on the lintel of the door for the Passover in Egypt, it was put on the hyssop. Do you know what hyssop is? Hyssop is just a common weed. You can just find it anywhere, and that's the way the blood is to be applied to the heart's door tonight, is by something common. It's called faith. We try to press it out and make it something that's no one can take hold of it. It's so simple that you go over the top of it trying to find it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not even seen, said the writer of Hebrews 11th chapter, first verse. So if God is working in you both to will and to do, then just let go and let God have his way. He wants you to have his will, and he wants you to do his will, so it comes into you to will and to do, like the scripture tells you. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Again, we find it from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Brown says there's no medicine that could heal. Medicine isn't made to heal. Good doctors will tell you that medicine doesn't heal. Jimmy Mayo said, on the Great Clinic now, this new round of doctors was accepted. But they said, we do not profess to be healers. We only profess to assist nature. There's one healer, and that's God. That's true. That is right. So God is the healer, and faith in God is the finished work. Let the doctor give you ever so much medicine, if you don't believe it's going to help you, you'd be a dead patient pretty soon. That's right. It's your faith. You've got to believe. Oh, you can't go home tonight without faith. If you think that you can't move and believe it strong enough, you'll sit right straight there. That's right. You've got to believe it. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. From the prophet Elijah, Brother Brown said, now, this Jehoram, after he had found that the king of Moab was going to declare war on him, why, he goes over to Judah and asks Jehoshaphat if he wouldn't unite his efforts with him to go make war with this king of Moab. And now here is the point that I wish to stress on for a few moments. That is concerning believers hooking themselves up with unbelievers. It doesn't work. God isn't pleased with it. God has said, come out from among the unbelievers. See, you can't associate night and day together. Neither can you associate belief and unbelief together. And when you find unbelief, it's accompanied by hatred. If you find faith, it's accompanied by love. For love creates faith. And without faith, why, you can't have love. For the hour's come. God said, I do a work, though it be done by a man, yet you'll not believe it. See, that's Acts chapter 13, I think. See, I'm trying to say that it's not me. Your faith is what operates that. Without faith, there's nothing. You can't receive anything. The people who beat him on the head with a stick and said prophecy, there was no virtue at all in them, for them. See, it's for those who believe. But the problem is that most people have only an intellectual faith, like the faith that turns on a light switch, or to get up in the morning to do your housework. All those things they have faith for. But to receive the promise of God for the hour in which you live will take a revelation from God that the promise is for you personally. Noah had to have faith for his family to enter that ark. He had to have faith to build that ark. You've got to have faith to draw your children to the token, to place a token upon your family. Premise, sermon, persevered, Brother Branham said. Now notice she also admitted that what Jesus said was the truth. My, I am a dog. Amen. Faith. Now listen, Jesus was the Word. And if you've got genuine faith, a faith will always admit the Word is right. Faith will never argue against the Word. Amen. It'll stay right with the Word. The way that the Word said it, that's the way faith will recognize it. I'm just going to let that soak in a minute. Yes, faith admits the truth. She said, it's the truth. Remember, she came to Jesus. He said, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. Lord, though I'm a dog, dogs still eat the crumbs. I'm not going to be turned away by salacious words, Lord, because I'm still entitled to the crumbs. See that faith? She admitted he was right. Faith will always do it. See, she had a hold of something higher than the whole Jewish generation did then. She had something that she got a hold of that wouldn't turn loose. There was something impulsing in her that she knew that she was going to get a request. No matter if she was going to be called a dog, if she was going to be called anything, kicked out, run over, whatever it was, she had a hold of something that she knew was going to deliver her request. Now that's a real revelation he's talking about. That's like a woman knocking. Get out of here! I need this request! Get out of here! I need this request! Fine, okay, you can have it. John? Keep knocking, buddy. Keep knocking, bro. God will give you your desire. Expectations. Don't matter what anybody says in the family. You just keep believing. Now your intellectual faith will reason. You'll say, now, I know the Bible teaches that, certainly. But let me think now that the days of miracles is past. Past said so. Somebody said so. I believe that this day we don't have that. See? Well, you know, John 14:12 is just for William Branham. Days of miracles are past. Now today, that's what's the matter with the churches. You see? You're using your intellectual faith, and that intellectual faith will reason with God's word, but a born-again experience from the heart will not reason. It will say God's word is right. There's no more to do with it. It's right. Because something down here that says in itself, you have nothing to do with it. It's God in the heart. Now, an intellectual faith will reason. Now today, that's what's the matter with the churches. We've got away from the real old-time experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. We've got away from it and substituted it for an intellectual college education. Now, I'm not trying to support my ignorance now, but I'm trying to say this. If it come between education and salvation, I'll take salvation. Yes, sir. If my children didn't know their ABCs, I'd rather they'd know Jesus. That's right. It is true. I think education is wonderful, but it'll go so far. And in closing, he said in a sermon anointed once at the end time, he said, now that's the question. Here's where I want to get to in Revelation 10. We will get to it in just a few minutes to another scripture verse. He said, in the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mystery of God ought to be finished. Now here's the question. See, is if you follow in that line in this hour, will it be finished? Will I find faith? Will Malachi 4 be fulfilled in this time? Restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the fathers? The original word? See? Let's pray. Father, I believe it is. I believe you said that the ministry of Malachi 4 will restore the hearts of the children, will restore the faith of your children. I believe, Father, because I see it. I see it over here. I see it there. I see it in different ones. I see it in little children. Remembering years ago when my daughter Elizabeth prayed for Christina that was very sick, 103 temperature. She came downstairs, she said, she's all better, we're ready to go. I said, how do you know? She said, because I prayed. Now, if the faith of a 4-year-old believing that all she had to do was pray, because that's what your word said, they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. And then that 3-year-old was healed because of that. Then why are we as adults so lacking in faith? To believe exactly what you said. I believe that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. I believe that the works that your son Jesus did, we shall do also. And greater works shall be done because you go to the Father. I believe that you said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I believe you, Lord. And so, Father, I'm asking in confidence now. I'm believing in confidence. And I'm asking you, Father, to fill your church this morning with a faith that they haven't had before, with a confidence in you, in the very person, the hypostasis, the very substance. For you are our faith, and we trust your very word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Mm-hmm.